Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Hi, friends. Happy Lord's Day. Happy Divine Mercy Sunday. Happy Octave of Easter. I hope you had a great Sunday today. I'm Father Frank Pavone, Director of Priests for Life, and we always enjoy welcoming you to these programs. Yeah, today is a very special day. I want to say a little prayer from my book first, then we'll talk a little bit about today and then some important things coming up in the next few days. Pro-life reflections for every day. Let's see what it has for today. Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Reflection. The Lord commands Adam to care for the garden, but Adam failed because he did not exercise the vigilance that was necessary to prevent the serpent from entering and then tempting Eve. A key reason why women get abortions is the failure of the baby's father to encourage them to do what is right. Let us pray. Lord, send your Spirit upon all men. May they not fail to guard and care for their families, even amidst the most difficult temptations against life. Amen. You can get this book, Pro-Life Reflections for Everyday.com. Thank you for one of you saying you love that picture of President Trump there. And yes, we are keeping it there. We're keeping a Trump sign out in front of our building. We're keeping the MAGA hats around. This movement has only just begun. And I'm going to say a few things about those on the left who, boy, they have some surprises coming for them. So a little bit of, first of all, about today. It's the octave of Easter. This whole week, actually starting last weekend on Saturday night, the Easter feast began, the vigil of Easter, Holy Saturday night. This whole week has been considered in the church's liturgy as one day the Lord has made, the day the Lord initiated a new humanity. Heaven began for human beings. Death is conquered. Christ is risen. And the Alleluias and the festive nature of the church's liturgy in this last week has been at its climax for the whole year. But now we continue with the Easter season. It's a full period of 50 days. And as you may have heard me say before, if you look at the proportion of one day, Sunday, to the seven-day week, the 50-day Easter season is approximately the same proportion to the 365-day year. So this now is like the great Sunday of the year for these next 43 days or so. And the Easter season's first 40 days, of course, commemorate the 40 days that Jesus was appearing to his disciples in various ways after the resurrection and instructing them and encouraging them. And then, 40th day, his ascension into heaven. That's another big feast day, Ascension Thursday. In most places, though, it's celebrated on the Sunday right after that Thursday. And then comes the great feast of Pentecost, and that's the culmination and conclusion of the Easter season, the coming of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus told them before he ascended, to stay in Jerusalem, pray for the outpouring of the Spirit. And that Spirit then has been fueling the work of the church ever since. So it's a wonderful time that we are in. And as I reflected in the Mass this morning, which I hope you saw, otherwise it's still posted, of course, on these various channels, we reflected that it's also Divine Mercy Sunday. Because all of this, the death and resurrection of Christ, all that he has given us, reflects the mercy of God. It is a powerful manifestation of the mercy of God. Well, let's talk about the left for a minute. There are these outrageous quotes. And, you know, I titled tonight, you know, why the left Oh, wait a second now. Someone is saying, thank you, Father, I miss you on RSBN, RSBN Network. Well, I have some good news for you. RSBN Network is giving me a slot. We are going to do a regular program. We are going to continue the prayers that we had all during the election time, prayers for our nation, prayers for President Trump and his family, prayers for the great principles that our nation is built on. But we are going to be doing a lot of work with RSBN moving forward. That's going to start very soon. And in addition to, of course, our programs right here on our own channel. So we're looking forward to that. You will see me on Right Side Broadcasting as well as right here on End Abortion TV. But the left, you know, they'll always lose. Because, and you know, I was just listening to Sebastian Gorka. You know, Sebastian Gorka just, what is it now, 2 hours ago, had his first episode of a new program that he has on Newsmax. So I want to encourage you on that. And he is a you hear his voice actually on the concluding music that we have to these evening programs. I know if you know Sebastian Gorka, you listen to him on the radio, you recognize his voice at the end of our broadcasts. He says, follow him on Twitter, Father Frank Pavone, Director of Priests for Life. So he's been a great encourager of our work, likes very much what we are doing, has had me on his show very often. But now he has his own TV show on Newsmax. And what's it called? Gorka Reality Check. Really great. I listened to him just a little while ago. And Bobby seems to have some strange ideas about Jesus not being political. You mean the one who warned everyone that unless they followed his teachings, they would be condemned? Did he warn, I don't know, like, I guess everybody except the politicians? Is he the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Or is that too political for him? Jesus, let's ask a question very simply. Is he Lord of 100% of our lives or just 90%? Oh, in other words, what portion of our life as individuals or as a society is Jesus Lord of? What percent? He made it very clear in his teachings that we are to follow him in everything. He is Lord of our lives, period. We are to turn our backs on even family and friends, on our very selves. We're to be willing to give our lives for him. He is Lord 100% of everything that goes on in our lives and in the world. So you're saying that that doesn't include politics? So the people who engage in politics, what does that mean? That they're not people? That their actions aren't... That they have nothing to do with morality? They're neither good nor bad? They're in a moral free zone and therefore a religion free zone? See, whenever people do something, that's morality. Either what they're doing is good or what they're doing is bad. Either it's helping people or it's hurting people. Either it's fulfilling the law of God or it's not fulfilling the law of God. That applies to every human being and every human action that they take. So how can it not include politics? You mean a person in politics then, they can order the killing of the innocent. They can, you know, bomb cities for no reason. They can oppress the poor. They can, you know, cheat and defraud, and because Jesus has nothing to do with politics and politics has nothing to do with morality, then what you're saying is they have free reign to do whatever they want, right? That's the only conclusion you can come to if you start separating religion from politics. Separating religions from politics makes you end up with a godless politics and an irrelevant religion. Now, that's not to say that they don't have distinct roles. They have very distinct roles. The church does not deliver the mail. The church doesn't have a standing army. The church does not pass and sign bills into laws. Neither does the state decide who your pastor is or what readings are going to be declared at the Sunday service. Of course they have distinct roles. But the common thread is morality. Every person is both a member, or every member of the church, let's say it that way, is also a member of the civil political community. It's the same person making choices every day and being guided in their life by the law of God and by the one who is Lord over not 80 or 90%, but 100% of their thoughts, words, and actions. The left will always lose. You know why? And I mentioned Sebastian Gorka because he was talking about this tonight. Because they're filled with hate. Hate is self-destructive. It's not. You don't thrive on hate. You don't grow on hate. You don't get stronger with hate. You get weaker. That's why they always lose. And because they are so myopic and because they are so self-absorbed and because they are so dead wrong on everything, what ends up happening is that they always overplay their hand. You notice that about those who are filled with hate? They always overplay their hand. They always go too far. Just when they perhaps have a following of some kind of people who think, of course, they're deceived. You follow the left, follow the Democrats, you're deceived. When they have people who think that what they're saying is good and they start following them, if only they would know to stop there, but they don't stop there. And they then reveal themselves to be so extreme that even those who thought that it was good to follow them end up saying, what the heck is this? This is not what I signed up for. And that's what's happening now under this disastrous presidency, this disastrous administration of Biden. Disastrous. Couldn't be more disastrous. And buyer's remorse, believe me, has kicked in for millions of Americans. We told you so. We warned you right in front of this very camera, right sitting in this very room, right on this very program. We warned them, didn't we? You all were warning them with me, with your great comments and insights and encouragement and prayers. We were warning them. But no. They had to go down that road. Listen to some of these blind, Martha is saying totally right, full of hate and blind. Listen to some of these quotes from the left because it shows us exactly the truth of this. A scholar and author who frequently writes about politics for the mainstream media in the U.S. and Europe by the name of Risa Aslan said that all supporters of President Donald Trump, quote, are by definition white nationalist terror supporters, and that, quote, this evil racist scourge must be eradicated from society. Didn't it used to be that some people on the left used to be very fond of saying, judge not? That's like their favorite scripture. It's the only scripture they know. Maybe except drink some wine. Judge not. And you shall not be judged. Could this possibly be more judgmental? It cannot. It cannot possibly be more judgmental or false. Washington Post associate editor Eugene Robinson said on MSNBC, hey, Eugene, hey, listen, you interact with some really awful people. Well, you don't know where to go, do you? Go to the park. Go to the beach. Go to Disney. What are you going to Washington Post and MSNBC? You have nowhere better to go. There's a lot of good restaurants out there, Eugene. Eugene Robinson. Well, what a loser.
Millions of Americans who supported Trump were like members of a cult who need to be deprogrammed.
It's the pot calling the kettle black. Max Boo, a global affairs analyst for CNN and columnist for the Washington Post. Hey, Max, you know, look up a few good restaurants also. There's better places to go than those two dirt holes. Said cable companies like Comcast should treat Fox News and other conservative media outlets like domestic terrorists who radicalize people. Of course, we radicalize them with the gospel, right? The radical following of Jesus. They radicalize people and set them on the path towards violence and sedition. Conservative outlets like this should be removed from television if they don't start promoting impartiality and accuracy in their news. Oh, you mean the accuracy that says that the baby in the womb is not a baby? Maybe we start there. You see, the problem is, you know, talk about the fundamental issue of abortion, as I've often said in talks to students. I'll start my talk on abortion by holding this up in the air. And I'll say to them, what is this? And they'll say, it's a pen. And then I'll say to them, before we start our discussion about abortion and the unborn, I'll say to them, mark my words. Before this discussion is over, you will be, some of you, many of you will be denying that this is a pen. And the reason I say that is that that's exactly what the abortion debate, and for that matter, the debate on a whole lot of other moral topics, has become. An outright denial of reality. It's the only way they can sustain their position. You lose all respect for truth. There is just as much evidence that the baby in the womb is a baby as there is that this is a pen. If you look at the baby in the womb, especially with the ability we have to do so nowadays, and you deny that that's a human baby, then you have denied that this is a pen. And I mean, how much farther can you go in distorting and denying the truth? Well, that's what these people on the left always do. That's why they lose, by the way. I call it the dead-end rule. We see this on full display when it comes to abortion and a lot of other topics. The dead-end rule is that if you go down a dead-end road and you ignore the fact that it's a dead-end and you ignore the sign that says it's a dead-end, you will soon learn by personal experience that it's a dead-end. That's the dead-end rule. And if you find by experience that it's a dead end, well, then you'll turn around and start going the other way, and then you become the sign to the other folks that are going towards the end of the road that you become the living sign that it's a dead end. And that's what's happened with abortion in our society. It purported back in the late 60s, early 70s to be able to solve all kinds of problems like the poverty among women and child abuse and divorce. But meanwhile, once abortion was legalized, all those other problems increased rather than decreased. It's a dead end. People who did not hear the word of the church and of the pro-life movement that abortion would be a bad thing, well, guess what? They learned from personal experience that it's a bad thing. The harm, the devastation that it brings, breaking of relationships, destruction of self-esteem, etc., etc. We could go on for hours. This is why the left always loses, because they're trying to create an alternate reality. But you know what? Just like if you try to defy the law of gravity by jumping off a bridge, no matter how much you think that you can go up instead of down, you're going to go down. You can think all you want. You can believe in all you want, convince yourself and others all you want. But then when you hit up against the brick wall of the actual laws that are in place in the universe, and there are moral laws as well as physical laws, and they're just as real, well, then you learn the hard way. This is why the left always loses. This is why we have to be absolutely confident and why we have to be vigorous in standing up for the truth. And final quote here, PBS Business Affairs Principal Counsel Michael Beller said prior to the November 3rd election, Michael, why?
Why? It's so sad that you're so on the wrong side of history. Really, I wonder if when you were growing up, when you were a little kid, you ever imagined, or anybody who knew you or tried to guide you, which they failed apparently, if they ever gave you the slightest inkling of how much of a failure you would be, being on the wrong side of history. So this guy says, if Biden were to win, the Department of Homeland Security should locate Republican voters and take their children away and put the adults in re-education camps. Well, the sickness, Michael, that reveals is a very good argument for someone coming to your house, putting you under arrest, and injecting you with some kind of serum. I don't know if it's been invented yet. That would, you know, erase these sick ideas from your head. Or put another way, what in the world is wrong with you? Okay, I want to switch over to a statement that the Republican National Committee put out in regard to what's been going on in Georgia. Let's read this because it's very revealing. You know, what Major League Baseball and pulling out of Georgia because of a law that they passed? I thought this was the 50 United States of America where each state has a government that, you know, elects lawmakers and then passes laws. And the governors sign them into law and, you know, this is how it works. And if you don't like the laws, elect people that will pass different laws and then lobby them and help them. And well, in any case, let me read this statement. Right now in Atlanta, workers, families, and business owners are crestfallen, having watched a golden opportunity to revitalize their state's economy vanish overnight. Your organization's decision to move the All-Star Game out of Atlanta is an outrageous, devastating blow to Georgia's economy and the workers who depend on it. To pull the rug out from under the Atlanta community after months of economic hardship brought about by the coronavirus is nothing less than a cowardly betrayal. Americans have watched in recent years as cancel culture, the left's preferred method of bullying and boycotting people who challenge their partisan beliefs, has become a serious problem. The Major League Baseball's Georgia betrayal makes it clear that Joe Biden's Democrats are no longer satisfied with canceling individual people. Your town, your city, your state could be next. There is no community that the left won't try to punish for the sin of questioning their woke bigotry. And bigotry it is. Let's be abundantly clear. Your decision to betray Georgians was based on false information spread by partisan politicians acting in bad faith. Joe Biden, Stacey Abrams, and the Democrat Party have been lying to you about Georgia's new election law. Senate Bill 202. Joe Biden claimed that the election law restricts access to the ballot box. Hey, Joe. Are you awake? What country are you in? What planet are you on? Do you know how to read? These are some of the questions that pop into my mind when I hear Mr. Biden say things like this. He claimed that the election law in Georgia restricts access to the ballot box? Is he having hallucinations? In truth, it expands access, as the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported. Joe Biden claimed that the new law makes voting hours end early. What? In truth, it does not, as reported by the Washington Post. Joe Biden claimed that the law prohibits voters in line from receiving food and water. Joe, Have you gone nuts? What on earth, what in God's name is wrong with you? In truth, the law prohibits political activists from delivering food and water in a practice known as line warming, which has been abused to solicit votes illegally. Poll workers may, of course, still provide food and water. Then there's this from Georgia Public Broadcasting. One of the biggest changes in the bill would expand early voting access for most counties. End of quote. If you had taken the time to actually read this legislation, this is another reason that the left always loses. They can't read the words that are right in front of them. If you had taken the time to actually read this legislation, you might have hesitated before unceremoniously stabbing an entire state in the back. Georgia Senate Bill 202 expands the number of early voting days. It provides for the pre-processing of ballots before Election Day. It allows voters to continue voting absentee with no excuse. Yes, it requires ID for voting, a measure that 75% of voters, including 60% of Democrats, support. It also bears mentioning that you need an ID to pick up a ticket to one of your league's games at will call. Senate Bill 202 is comprehensive and thoughtful legislation designed with nuance and a deep knowledge of the state's electoral process. By contrast, your organization's decision was impulsive, callous, and deeply cynical. That's why the left always loses. That's why it loses. They're working on impulse. They're callous. They don't get to the reality of what's going on. By contrast, your organization's decision was impulsive, callous, and deeply cynical. You caved to Joe Biden and the woke mob. See, that's how mobs work. With total disregard for fact, due process, and debate. Need proof? The MLB All-Star Game will now be held in Denver instead of Atlanta. Colorado also has voter ID requirements, and has fewer voting days than Georgia. Early voting, 15 compared to Georgia's 17. Is this hilarious or what? And whereas Atlanta is one of the most diverse cities in America and a center of Black American culture, Denver's population is less than 10% Black. Facts don't just matter to the mob. Again, that's why they always lose. Facts don't matter to them. Sports should be unifying, joyful, and a welcome distraction from everyday life. We need sports right now, maybe more than ever. What we don't need is yet another American institution kowtowing to the radical left and their vicious bullying tactics. Americans won't forget your weakness under pressure, least of all the fans who keep your organization alive. Well, I thought that was a great statement from the RNC. God bless them. I see so many of you making such very good and insightful comments. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for, of course, your following all these things. And, boy, you know, here's the bottom line. We're not the crazy ones. You're not the crazy ones. The world is indeed going crazy around you. It really is. Valerie is saying, I can live without sports because I have God. Isn't that true? Isn't that true for us all? We do have the Lord, and He provides us with the sanity we need to live in this crazy, crazy world. You know what I was doing today? I want to show you something else to switch gears here a little bit. These are two of our prayer books. Of course, we start off these programs usually with this prayer booklet, which is the little one-minute reflection. But these are two little pro-life prayer books that I've written over the years. The first one I wrote, this one, In the Palm of His Hand, Prayers to End Abortion, In the Palm of His Hand. Then I wrote In the Heart of His Mercy, Prayers for Healing After Abortion. You can find all these, by the way, at prolifeprayers.com. Now today, I spent much of the day today writing a third in the series called In the Light of His Word, Biblically Based Prayers to End Abortion, In the Light
of his word. So I spent much of the day today writing that. The ideas had been formulating in my mind for a while now, and I have it just about all finished. I'll probably put the finishing touches on it tomorrow. So then we'll have three prayer books in this series, In the Palm of His Hand, In the Heart of His Mercy, and In the Light of His Word. And then we'll continue after that making more. But this is something which you will really enjoy. Once that comes out, we'll be glad to send everybody all of these things as you request them. And then one of the products that we are promoting this week, and we have our online store, prolifeproducts.org, is this shirt. Talking about the left, you know, they care more about the environment than about human lives. Although our legitimate care for the environment is supposed to be because we care for human lives, they kind of turn it on its head. But this is a T-shirt that says, "Pretend I am a tree and save me." Pretend I am a tree and save me. So this is the unborn baby speaking, of course. And this was a shirt designed by our youth outreach director, Brian Kemper. You may have seen this already on some of our other shows. Well, friends, that is what I have for you tonight. Cheryl is saying she has this shirt and really loves it. That's great. I'm glad that you do. Let's see if there's any other. Yeah, Joe is pointing out pot is legal in Colorado. Yeah, Colorado's got quite a few problems, actually. Got to get it back into the red column. It's going too far off to the left for a long time. Check out the Priests for Life website. Thank you, Miranda, for recommending that to somebody. And let's see here if there's any other things here. Praying for the conversion of some of the strange people who come to this and say crazy things. Let's see. Right. Good, good, good. Somebody received their copy, the autographed copy of Pro-Life Reflections for Every Day about a week ago. Gene, good. Thank you for mentioning that. Let's see. Without President Trump, Gene is saying, we would have never known just how corrupt and evil the Democrat Party had become. Isn't that right? He shines a light on corruption, is what he does. He's great at doing that. He shines a light on corruption. Patty is saying, Father, I look forward to seeing you every night. Thank you. You're most welcome. Joe is saying, get President Trump as our guest. We'll work on that. You know, we certainly have a lot of messages that we've been sending over to him. Oh, Phil or Fi is saying, in Canada, the police put a fence around a church to prevent mass today. These people are absolutely sick. They've ceased to believe in freedom, right, is what it boils down to. Not just freedom of religion, but just freedom. Freedom to assemble, freedom to go where we want. They you know what? They don't care about health. They've long left any justification behind about, oh, we're trying to protect people from the virus. Nonsense. This is about control and suppressing people's freedom and finding an outlet for their hatred for religion. And wasn't that great to see that pastor on that video up in Canada chasing the police out of his church, getting them out of there. Police are our friends, brothers and sisters, except that in that case they were acting as agents of a very, very oppressive government regime. So we are grateful to you. Thanks for spending the time with me on this Divine Mercy Sunday. And we are delighted. Oh, I do have one more important thing to tell you. So tomorrow night we'll be back here at our regular time at 9 o'clock. And I'm going to have two special guests with me live. Two. One is a registered nurse. The other one is a neonatologist, a doctor who is an expert in babies.
And we are going to talk about something that's going to happen in the Congress on Wednesday. This coming Wednesday, the 14th, the Republicans are going to introduce a measure in Congress. It's a tool called a discharge petition. And what that is, that happens when the party who has the majority, okay, so the party who has the majority, they control the committees, they control what legislation gets even introduced, much less passed. And when the party who is in the majority does not want a particular bill to see the light of day, because they don't agree with it, there is something that the members of the House of Representatives can do to counteract that. If they get a simple majority of the members to agree. Now, being therefore that this is going against the majority party, you have to have some from the majority party join the minority party in signing this petition. But if a simple majority of the House members agree that a certain bill should get a hearing, should have a vote, they can sign this document saying so. So the Republicans on Wednesday, here's what they're going to do. They're going to put forth this discharge petition for the bill called the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. I've talked to you about it before. We're going to talk about it tomorrow night with Nurse Jill Stanek and Dr. Robin Pierucci. You may have seen Robin on EWTN. I know she's been interviewed there. We're going to talk with them about this bill. And on Wednesday, when the Republicans introduce it, they're going to all line up to sign it one after the other. There'll be 200 or more of them all lined up. It'll be the largest number of House members to sign a discharge petition in history. And so this is going to be very, 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 very good. And this is something that, you know, people like the left wackos that we quoted and I don't know what the word, there's no more words in the English language to describe we've got to find a word that's about 1,000 times stronger than wrong, okay? For how the left are, Democrats, Trump haters, pro-abortion folks. There's got to be a word about 1,000 times stronger than wrong to describe these people. But let's see what they think about killing babies born alive. Outside the womb, it's not abortion anymore, friends. The Democrats won't even pass legislation to strengthen protections for babies born alive at any stage of pregnancy. You know, sometimes babies are born during abortions. We're going to talk to our medical experts tomorrow night as to why and how that happens. How could it be that a baby is in the process of being aborted, gets born alive? Well, it happens. And we'll talk about some of the medical reasons why that happens. It's going to be a fascinating conversation, and it's going to be an historic week. Because you know what this does, friends? It puts, as I said, and this wraps up my thought for tonight, why the left will always lose. It puts their extremism on display. They don't know when to stop. They always overplay their hand. They're totally disconnected from the mind and heart of the American public. They don't know where people stand. They underestimate us all the time. And so they can go so far as to say, no, we're not even going to protect babies born alive. Born alive, outside the womb. There's only one way they get away with this. If nobody knows about it. If nobody talks about it. If we don't shine a light on it. We shine a light on it. We tell our friends and neighbors and fellow citizens and fellow voters about it, it ends. The evil and the extremism end. So friends, stay tuned about tomorrow night. It's going to be great. Meanwhile, we'll see you in the morning for Mass.
And I appreciate all that you do for this great movement. So may the Lord bless all of you, strengthen you, protect you, answer your prayers, bless your families, and make you strong, always strong advocates for life and for the kingdom of God and for America. And may He bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. Have a great night. We will talk to you tomorrow.
I think we have Richard Lee, we have Jim Garlow, and we have Father Frank Pavone, someplace there in the audience, so I appreciate you. I appreciate you.
Follow him, Father Frank Pavone, F.R. Frank Pavone, on Twitter. He is the National Director of Priests for Life. Please go to priestsforlife.org.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.